Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Your official station to talk Giants.
I'm encouraged where we are in terms of our participation, what we've been doing, and we'll just keep moving in the right direction.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning. I'm on the other side. It is officially June 22, 6/22/22, Wednesday morning. Keith McPherson on the Fan, your nighttime host, kicking things off on the other side. There's something I wanted to add to that conversation from Billy from Valhalla from New York. Thanks for calling. He was talking about the Yankees lineup and I guess their lack of production at home in the series where we swept the Rays. I felt like those games were playoff type games. They were close games that, you know, you're not going to win in the playoffs 12-4, 18. Like those games don't happen in the playoffs. You win 2-1 games. You win 4-3 games. And the thing that, you know, changed those games was that the Rays were sloppy and the Yankees made them pay. So the lineup might not all be hitting home runs, getting extra base hits. But if they take advantage of the opportunities when they have them and they score, that's good enough for me. It's not a hitting contest. It's a scoring contest. They have to score more runs. I don't care if it's a wild pitch. I don't care if it's an RBI walk. I don't care if it's a sack fly. I don't care if it's a sack bunt, whatever. Just got to score the runs. And I look at this team in this lineup, and they find ways to manufacture runs. They find ways to win. Even in the game today, okay, 5-2, got to come back. What do we got to do here to get back in this game? And they have TWTW, the will to win. So I'm not panicking about anything with this team, and I'm definitely not looking at this team saying they're going to fold in October. They're not going to be built for October. Yes, they are. They're going to be built for October through losing games like this. And through winning games like this, there's going to be games where they come out on top. They come back and win. Not worried about the Yankees. Not this year. We'll do the worrying when we get to October. But let's take this series by series, week by week, game by game. And it's been a lot of fun so far. And it's good to take a loss and not feel like even Sunday. You lose Sunday by one run. We're losing these one-run games. It's because the Yankees are coming back. Never say die. Do they have a rally in their bones? All the time. Every time. 27 outs, they're never out of a game. And it doesn't matter who's coming up. And Aaron Boone will press the right buttons to see who's coming off the bench to pinch hit, who's going to pinch run, who's going to replace who. And I have confidence in that going forward the rest of the season and definitely going into October. Let's go back to the phones. Young Mo is in Brooklyn on the Fan. You got it, Young Mo.
Yeah, Keith.
Hey.
Yeah, and I know it's terrible to, it's not terrible to lose, it's a loss, but I never understood why all the Yankee fans, after we lose one game, we get all on the Yankees, how bad they were doing and all that. We Keith, we have 18 losses. Just think about that. That's crazy. 18 losses. We're the best team in the MLB. We're going to lose a few games. I never understood why everyone gets so mad about this.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Reds lost 18 games in the first month of the season. I look at this team, and I look at the fans of this team, and there are some fans of this team that want to be miserable. They want something to complain about. They want to be right. Like, the lineup came out today, and people were like, punt game. Oh, here we go. They want to be right on that. Oh, my God. Gleyber Torres at shortstop. What is going on? No Judge. No way we win this game. And we lost the game. But there was a few ways we could have won it.
Yeah, and guess what? In the playoffs, Gleyber's not going to be at shortstop. And
exactly.
Judge is going to be playoffs.
Exactly. So one game like this where you got to rest a guy, where another guy is hurt, you got to move some pieces around and figure it out. Okay, we lost that game 5-4, and they were in it to the very last strike, last out.
Yeah, definitely last strike, last out. When it hit, when Judge hit that, I thought it was gone. I got so excited.
Me too. It just felt right. I stood up out of, like, I was sitting on the couch. I came to my feet, like, he's done it. Oh, no, he hasn't.
And I feel like as the Yankees, they don't really need, like, it's not such a big deal if they lose tomorrow, lose the series. But as a Yankee fan, and I don't care that much if they lose the series, but for the haters, for the people who love to hate on the Yankees, I think the Yankees has got to win the series.
They will. I think they're going to fight, and they don't like losing back-to-back games. Gerrit Cole said they got that dog in them. Having the dog in you means, like, okay, you're going to take this loss tonight hard, and then you're going to come out tomorrow, and you're going to make sure you leave with a win, especially as you're heading home to face the number two team in the AL, the hated Houston Astros.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the AL All-Star voting, and I saw this thing today, and I think it's crazy that Judge is first in outfield voting, Stanton is fourth in outfield voting, Torres is fourth at second base, Trevino's second at catcher, LeMahieu somehow is third in voting at third base, even though he hasn't been doing so great, and also Rizzo is, I think, second or third in voting. It's at first base, which is crazy how many All-Stars we could have.
Yeah, well, one is because the Yankees have the most fans, and a lot of it is just name recognition, right? A lot of it is just, you know, people are going there and they're voting for the guys' names that they know. Yankees have a ton of fans, and we should be running it up for our guys. We're the best team in baseball. Let's see how many actual All-Stars we can get.
Right, like I was saying, when I saw LeMahieu, I'm like, when people go to vote, when Yankee fans go to vote, they vote for Steve LeMahieu because that's who they know, because that's who they've seen the last few years play great, even though he's not doing so incredible this season.
Right. Even though he's kind of had a down year for DJ standards.
Although
still
he picked
fans
it up the last month or so.
Yeah, and a good sign tonight. Like I said, runners in scoring position. DJ used to be automatic like that. It was good to see him bring those runs in.
And it was cool to see Marwin homer at the end of the game.
Awesome. Awesome to see Marwin Gonzalez contributing the way he has this year. Tip my cap to Cashman. The guy's played four different positions, will bat wherever you bat him. And he's had some frustration. He's had some frustrating at-bats, but you could tell he's out there trying to figure it out, and he has. He's hit two home runs recently. Like, if he's hitting it out of the park, like, come on.
Yeah, and I know, like, I shouldn't get too worried about Nestor, but, like, he's had, two, three bad games recently, and I'm not going to get too worried. I'm just, like, thinking, like,
no,
what's going on here?
It's understandable. We all should be a little concerned about it. We need Nestor to be an ace. He started off as an ace. He's got to figure it out. He's got to adjust. He's got to make adjustments. This is his first year being an ace and being looked at as an ace. Obviously, at the end of last year, we started hyping him up. But if he wants to be that guy, like, comes with the territory, man. Be ready. Everybody's gunning for you.
Yeah, and you were talking about the World Series and the playoffs. And I think the real difference this year is really just going to be not having Chapman and instead having
Clay Holmes.
That Chapman, every year, you see Altuve get up, you see the guy on the Rays, I forgot his name right now, him get up, and you just know Chapman's going to blow it. You just know Chapman's going to blow it. Holmes is just different. Holmes is, I don't know how he got him, but Holmes is just so much better.
He's lights out. He's solid. He's one of the best guys, and he's one of the best relievers in baseball. He should be an All-Star too. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. On top of all the other reasons why we feel more confident about this team in October this year, it's not going to be Aroldis Chapman roller coaster sweating it out in the ninth inning when he comes in to close. He's not coming in my opinion. It's Clay Holmes.
Yeah, and the last few years in the playoffs, we have seven games to play in the playoffs every series, and we always had every year one, two pitchers that were like an iffy, like hopefully he could do good, or we have to pick a starter, an opener, because we don't have a great pitcher. This year we have five amazing pitchers. It's great.
Right. And we just play the matchups, and we just play, okay, who are we going up against, and who do we want to throw? Do we want to throw Monty? Do we want to throw Seve? Has J-Mo pitched well against these guys? Okay, most people think it's Nestor or Cole, game one and two. Which way are we going? Like, I have confidence in these guys for sure.
Yeah, and I hope the Yankees can continue the greatness tomorrow and against the series and the Astros, and have a great night, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Mo. Yeah, these kids are smart. I'm glad he added that. And the thing the Yankees have lacked in October in the past years really is dominant pitching. So if we keep these guys healthy and they keep going, yeah, I understand Nestor's last two starts weren't great, whatever. It's June now. He's made a bunch of starts. He's 6-3, and he's got to figure it out. It seems like guys have adapted and, you know, adjusted to him. Okay, he'll figure it out. It's part of the game. Other guys will pick him up. Gerrit Cole had a better night. Got to be solid. Jordan Montgomery. What's up? Like, Jordan, when did Montgomery pitch the first game in Toronto? And I remember thinking, like, okay, he didn't go ahead. He elected to stay with the team and travel with the team. And he didn't go ahead to get there early. He sacrificed sleep, and it didn't matter. He pitched well. I expect him to come out and be a stopper. I expect him to come out tonight and hold it down against Boz. Let's see. I don't know much about this kid that they have going. Shane Boz. I've seen him before. He's young. He's 23. But like Bill said, you know, when the Yankees face guys for the first time, sometimes they struggle. Let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope there's savages in the box tonight. Let's hope that these guys show up pissed off about losing two out of their last three games and they get run support for Monty right away. Jump all over this guy. He's a 23-year-old right-handed pitcher. We'll see. Jerry is in Clark, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Jerry?
What's up, Keith? How's everything, boss?
Great, great. Thanks for calling in.
Of course. Looking forward to the Houston series. A couple of things I want to say. Are you going to any of the games? I'll be in the bleachers on 203 on Sunday.
I don't know if I'll get there Sunday. I just probably got to give my wife that time. But Thursday and Friday, I'm definitely in there. And Saturday's a big possibility.
I was thinking about getting one of those inflatable garbage cans. I don't know. You think that'd be an issue getting in?
Yeah. So last year we brought inflatable garbage cans and they took them from us. We had signs. We had plastic trash cans like around our necks to like hit on. And it was 10% capacity last year. So it was easy to see all of us. I think yep. I have the video. I got to resurface some of those videos on Twitter. The security came and took all of our props. No props for the Astros.
I got two quick things. I know you're a radio guy now, so I know your boy with John Sterling. The first couple games without him, it was kind of tough. It was hard to listen to Ricky Ricardo, but he's starting to grow on me. I thought Ryan Rucco should have gotten a shot at it, but what is your opinion on that?
Rucco has done it in the past. I just feel like now Rucco is everywhere. He's doing a bunch of different things, from WNBA to NBA to his podcast to Yankee games on Yes. I'd like to see if Rucco has the time for it or wants to do it. I'd like to see him jump back into the chair. But Justin Shackle, I remarked that he sounded a lot like Ryan Rucco to me. Justin Shackle was good. And at first, you know, it's just a different voice. We're so used to hearing how elegant John Sterling presents the Yankees and Yankees baseball on the Fan presented by John and Susan. And like, you know, there's been so many years of that. It's hard for anyone to fill it in for us to just immediately accept it.
We take these announcers for granted between Michael Kay, David Cone, Paul O'Neill.
I don't. They've narrated too many good times in my life. I don't take them for granted. But with Ricky does the Spanish broadcast, and he's got a lot of reps. I think he's also called NFL games for the Eagles, spring training games for the Phillies.
Yep,
like, Ricky has some experience, and similar to John Sterling, he has a ceremonious elegance to, like, his speech and his delivery. Yesterday we said it was his panache, his, like, flair, the way that, you know, he naturally speaks with bass in his voice, like, almost like the, like, better than the Arby's. We have the meats. Like Ricky Ricardo was, he's great.
I know. I noticed that yesterday's game. He started to grow on me. So I got to get used to him. If Sterling's gonna have some days off, I'm flying out to Cleveland July 1st. Me and a couple buddies are doing the first two games at Cleveland, and then we're driving to the two games in Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
You ever been up to that way?
I have. So I wanted to go back to Pittsburgh, but the reason I didn't make a move on it is because I can't. Like I'm not going to be off. Like I'm coming back from being off for 4th of July weekend. I can't take off the days right after, and it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe. And last time I went out there, the Yankees played there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I partied till like 3, 4 in the morning on that Saturday night. Like Pittsburgh, they go in, like the bars do not close. And if I'm going out there, I'm trying to turn up, and there's not a turn up like that Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Oh, man. But one last thing I wanted to say was, I think the Yankees need to send you a check, man. You had that nice Marwin Gonzalez bet in the other day. You had everything on him.
Ugh. So I've noticed Marwin trending up, and I had a parlay that had like all of these Marwin Gonzalez, and he hit all of them. The only thing that didn't hit was the Yankees win. The Yankees lost.
I cannot believe it.
And I'm like, man, I just started like putting bets on Marwin, as Marwin has. If you look up his numbers, when he's getting an opportunity lately, he's made the most of it. And I had, you know, him to homer and the Yankees to win, and I had like a whole parlay with him to get two hits, two runs, whatever. It is what it is. I took a break from gambling this week. I was up,
and I
gave it back, and now I'm taking a break. That's what I do.
You remember the losses more than you do the wins, that's for
always,
sure.
Always, always, always. And I'm up overall in the app. I'm up a good amount. I was laughing about how much I'm up in the app, and I still know to just take breaks, because if you get addicted to that stuff and you just get used to depositing hundreds of dollars.
You got to ride the promos.
Yeah, you got to ride the promos. You got to be smart. You got to know when to pop in, pop out. Like the Yankees, I would have bet on the Yankees to win today, and they lost.
Yeah, but no, I got all the confidence in the world. This team is showing, you know, a lot of resilience. And I know probably you, probably me, and all my friends, nobody had confidence going into the season. I was like, you know, we didn't do enough, but Cashman really did make some nice moves. Trevino's played out well. Connor Falefa. So I think this year, you know, it's a lot different than years past.
Yeah, I had confidence, but I definitely didn't think they would be at 50 wins and 18 losses.
No, not at all.
And I definitely was. I was saying this year I'm changing my approach. Instead of expecting a World Series, I'm expecting a team to be built. I'm expecting a team to build and develop chemistry over time, and they did that pretty fast.
And one last thing, just because I don't want to turn it sour, but I'm a big Nets fan too. Are you done with Kyrie or no?
Nah, never done with Kyrie. I've spent way too much time campaigning for the guy and having his back.
I know, but this doesn't sound like it's going to end well for us, and I'm not ready for a rebuild. I think this is still our window.
I'm not worried. So this is what I've been telling folks. The NBA draft is tomorrow. It's the 23rd. They need anything to drive attention and clicks for, what's happening? Free agency. The 29th is the opt-out date. There's just, you know, there's no reason to panic as a Nets fan. They will figure it out. In my opinion, it makes no sense to move on from Kyrie Irving. The Nets are the ones that brought him here. They went the superstar route. You traded our homegrown talent. See it all the way through this era, which you're only halfway through. And this era, when you think about this era was affected by COVID, the NBA bubble, the shortened season, injuries, the vaccine. Like, the first half of this KD Kyrie 7-11 era was so unorthodox. It was like we'd never seen. KD was out the first year. He was out completely the first year. So they got to leave that stuff in the past, and they have to graft the future and say, okay, Kevin Durant is here for the next 4 seasons. Kyrie, do you want to play, or do you want to just kind of play and use your platform for other things? It's a business. Kyrie also has to commit. And I don't know if they're going to make an incentive-based thing or whatever they do, but it's a negotiation. And they're going to use the public and Shams and Woj and different writers to kind of sway the public and then force, you know, negotiations in one way or the other. But as a Nets fan, I think that Kyrie stays. I think that the Nets figure out how to see this thing all the way through with KD and Kyrie, because they don't have any better options out there. Ben Simmons is here. They chose to take on Ben Simmons. So if you chose to take on Ben Simmons, you better have KD and Kyrie next to him.
Yeah, I agree. I'd love to see those three of them work, you know. It sounds like it's not, but I hope, man. I got my Kyrie jersey last year, so I hope I get more than
it. Right, they know that. They know that Kyrie sells tickets and jerseys. As much of a headache as he can be, as inconsistent as he can be, as much as you wish the guy would just focus on basketball and show up more, you realize the special talent he is and how polarizing he is, and that's power. The Nets have never had superstar players of this caliber. I don't think they should be punting on this now. I think they got to just kind of swallow their pride, all of them, their egos, put the egos to the side and do what's best for the future of the team right now.
Of course. But listen, Keith, it was good talking to you. I got to see you at the stadium or Twin Bar soon, so.
I'll be around, man. Thursday, Friday, I'm out there. I don't know. The weekend is always tough because, like, I'm up late at night. I'm like, my wife and I have complete different hours during the week. I got to give my wife time on the weekend.
Of course you do. You're a family man. So good talking to you, and I hope to see you around, man.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Yeah, more on the Nets while we went down that path before we break. Kyrie for clicks. You know how they say Knicks for clicks? Kyrie for clicks. It's just so easy to put his name in a headline and drum up all of this nonsense around all the Lakers are interested and the Knicks and the Clippers. None of those teams should be interested. The Nets should be the number one team interested. Why? Because Kyrie is from New Jersey. He said he doesn't plan on going anywhere else. He chose this organization. He's over 30 now. He knows he's on the back end of his career. He's 10 years in the league, 11 years in the league. He knows he doesn't have that many years left to play. Should they run him the max? Not without stipulations, not without some type of rules, right? It'd be insane to just run him the max and let him do whatever he's wanted after he's burned you before. But at the same time, you signed up for this. You knew what you were doing. I'll never forget it. I was in London at the London series. I brought my Vince Carter Nets jersey to London just in case. Just in case the Nets did. I didn't think it would happen, but just in case the Nets did land KD and Kyrie. And when they did, I'm like, this is going to change things. This is going to be different. We have superstars on the Nets now. See it all the way through. The Brooklyn Nets have to see it all the way through. Can't punt on it. You know why? Because the Brooklyn Nets decided to go get James Harden, and that failed, and they punted on that. And then you're going to what? Punt on Kyrie? And then everything that people said about teaming up, about players leaving teams to team up and doing, like, it blew up in their faces. If they actually make a move against signing Kyrie and don't sign Kyrie and trade or do whatever, it's going to be a complete failure. And that's going to hurt the fan base. That's going to hurt the attendance. Kevin Durant is amazing, but Kevin Durant wants to play with Kyrie Irving, and Nets fans signed up to see those two guys essentially finish their careers together here in Brooklyn. So I think it's much about nothing. I think the NBA draft is approaching. I think the 29th, the opt-in deadline is approaching. And there's, you know, negotiations going on, and they use the media in these things. So Nets world, fret not. The Nets are going to be a better team next year. Joe Harris will be back. Seth Curry will be back. Both those guys healthy. We expect the young rookies to take a step. We expect Nick Claxton to be better. And in Marks we trust, I guess, right now. I don't know. If Marks is going against Kyrie, I think that's counterproductive. But I do trust Marks to fill in the blanks around this team and around the, you know, making sure that they're a well-rounded team so that they can compete with teams like the Celtics, like the Warriors. Got to get better. And last but not least, Steve Nash isn't going anywhere. If you're sticking with Steve Nash, you ought to stick with Kyrie. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take this first break. Call me up, 877-337-6666. Mets lost 8-2. Yankees lost 5-4. But we're taking it easy tonight. We're not harping on it. It's one loss. You're going to lose games. These are still the best teams in the league. Let me take this first break, and I'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Your official station to talk Jets.
You don't have to be the most talented person. You don't have to be the most physically imposing person. You just have to be the guy that's willing to go into the echo of the whistle.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Alrighty then, let's keep on rocking. KM to 2 a.m., Keith McPherson on the Fan, nighttime, late at night. Salicata comes up at 2 a.m., you got me till then. About 90 minutes to take calls, to talk about the Yankees, to talk about the Mets. I think I saw a tweet earlier that said that the Mets hadn't won at Minute Maid Park out there in Houston since the Houston Astros played in the NL. I think that was, let me see if I can find the tweet. I think that was Mike Puma. If I could find the tweet, that'd be great. But since they were in the NL, I think he said, yep, Mets lose 8-2 in Houston. Seven straight losses for the Mets at Minute Maid Park. The last time the Mets won here, the Astros still played in the National League. Well, I need them to win tonight. Need a split tonight. That was a tough one, though. I felt like, you know, Minute Maid Park, obviously Houston always has a good atmosphere. I think that's one of the better places to play in Major League Baseball night to night. Like, doesn't have to be a weekend. Like, their fans are turned up. They've won a lot. They've built a culture out there. Even though they're crooks, even though they're cheaters, like, their fans still ride for them. And they came out and punched the Mets in the face early. And it's tough when it's Altuve, that third inning, three runs. It's Altuve, it's Yordan Alvarez, it's the guys that they expect to do it. And I thought Altuve's only went 315. I thought it was a short portion. No, it was 355. But it's the way that their ballpark is set up, right, with the train tracks and just the lines on the walls back there. Whatever. It is what it is. The Astros go up early. Urquidy was really good. He didn't give up much through how long did he go? Six innings. Four hits, one run, five strikeouts. He was solid. Who hit one? I think Alonso hit one out. Yep, Alonso hit a home run, and Escobar hit a home run, but that's it. Two solo shots. Mets lose 8-2. Mets are still holding at 45, but they can split the series with the Astros. later tonight. Then they faced them in Queens after the Marlins, and it'll be some familiar territory. The Astros are a pretty good team. Their lineup is still pretty stacked when you go through it. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Yordan Alvarez. Just those four, those top four are tough. Tucker, who do they have? They had Dubon at shortstop, not Jeremy Pena tonight. Mauricio Dubon at shortstop tonight, not their rookie Jeremy Pena. They'll be right back in it, man. The Astros, they're, like I said, they built the culture out there. They're a good team. Even though they're crooks, even though they're cheaters, they still have a winning culture, and they still have enough good players. Gurriel, I thought when Gurriel made that error at first, I'm like, okay, here comes the time for the Mets to make them pay, make it happen, Mets. It just didn't happen. Tough. You fly out there to Texas. It's humid. There was some sage in the air, some smoke in the air. The field was wet. Like, they made the field extra damp for some reason. I don't know. Get them later tonight. All right, back to the phones we go. Kevin and Wayne on the Fan. You got it.
What's up, Keith?
What's
up? And I must say, what you said before about the kids being smart, you were definitely right about that, because I remember when I was a kid about a decade ago. Some may say I'm a kid now. I'm 23, but I digress. I always used to try to call the Fan when I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12, and every time they were like, sorry, Kevin, you're way too young. So I appreciate that you're giving these kids a chance to voice their opinions.
Yeah, it's a different time, man. I'm flattered and I'm honored that young kids are listening to my show. It's not something I ever thought about. And they're smart, too. I think it was young Daniel who said he was calling up during the post game. So he was getting on the line during Sweeney's post game in anticipation to be on my show, instead of waiting for me to go on and say the number and then call. So, yeah, the kids are great. The young Jedis, they're fantastic.
Yeah, I in my experience, kids typically get into WFAN because their dads listen to it in the car.
Yeah, and now they're getting old enough where they have their own thoughts and takes, and they can speak well enough and formulate sentences and get their thoughts out. Like, that's what I'm impressed with the most, right? It's hard to call the radio and know that hundreds of thousands of people can hear this, and, you know, you have to be prepared and ready to say what you want to say without messing up. And these guys call up and they're smart and they're quick and they're witty and they get to their points, and you know, we go back and forth and it's always a good conversation.
Yeah, they all certainly heighten the quality of the show. But anyways, I just wanted to say, on the topic of the woes of the New York baseball teams, is the way I see it, If you're going to have a great year in the MLB, you do that by beating all the bad teams. And if you play 500 ball against the good teams, then I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah,
what
good
else
enough.
Do you ask for?
Good enough. You're 100% right about that, right? You're supposed to beat up on the bad teams. There's so many bad teams. There's such a difference in the teams that are good and the teams that do have a payroll and the teams that are just trash and bottom feeders. And you can have a good season handling business against those teams. And then, like you say, you go 500 against the good teams. That's to be expected. The Yankees have dominated some of the good teams. The Mets have dominated some of the good teams as far as taking series from them. So that bodes well for the postseason.
Yeah, like, and there's going to be a lot of losing even in a good season. If you win 100 games, you're losing 62. Those are 62 nights that you're losing.
It's part of the process. You got to lose to know how to win. You take your lumps and you take them in stride, and you come back better for it.
Precisely speaking. Have a good night, Keith.
Thanks for the call. With, you know, every loss should be a lesson. Nestor Cortez is going to learn some lessons tonight. Trevor Williams learned some lessons tonight. Jason Shreve, former Yankee, learned some lessons tonight. I've seen him give it up for the Yanks. It is what it is. You have to lose to know how to win. I think that's a lyric from Aerosmith's song. I know that everybody says you got to lose to know how to win. It's a real thing, right? You take losses and you figure out how to avoid losses next time. You go through these situations where you should have cashed in, and next time you know what to do to cash in. It's part of baseball. Losing is a part of baseball. It's a failing sport. These guys are batting under 300. That means 7 out of 10 times, they ain't got it. 8 out of 10 times as well. And on a night like tonight, first inning, I don't want to put that on you, Glaber. I'm looking at the screen. Nestor gives up back-to-back home runs. You knew it was going to be an interesting night. But at the same time, watching the Yankees, you feel like they're not out of it. They can get those two runs back, and they did. It was a different game. With the Mets, tough. The Mets went down 7-0 in the fifth, and it's like, oh, this is going to be a lot to come back from. They didn't get shut out, but you knew it was going to be a lot to come back from on the road against an Astros team who they've done it. They're the AL champs every year, it seems. Aaron is out in Brooklyn. What's up, Aaron? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey, Keith. What's up? Yeah, I'm here to talk about the Yankees, but first, I wanted to say yesterday I graduated also, kind of like Josh.
Congrats. You got to do it, fellas. You got to graduate. You got to hit the books and get your grades and get through school, or you can't do anything.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. But I sort of got in the situation like you. And me and my friends were joking around. We lit a few smoke bombs before the graduation. And after graduation, my mom figured out. She took away my phone, and I got completely screwed up by my dad.
So
I was going to go out to eat, and they didn't take me.
How you calling in right now? Are you on a landline?
No, I'm using my bro's phone.
It's tough, bro. I feel for you, but I can relate. And obviously, I told my story. It sucks. You go a little too far with the celebrating, and you're not thinking that you could get in trouble. You want to light some fireworks off, light some papers on fire. Woo, we did it. And then your parents are like, slow your roll. Too much dip on your chip. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah, so yeah. Anyway, I was talking to my friends, and after this loss, the Yankees tonight, last night, they were talking about Nestor Cortez and how he like sucks right now. And I'm telling them, like, they're all Mets fans. I'm like, y'all guys are all haters. Like, Nestor Cortez had one bad game, and he's obviously winning AL Cy Young, in my opinion. And NL Cy Young is not going to DeGrom or Scherzer.
Right.
And all they could do is just hate because the Yankees
ask them about loss. Ask them about Chris Bassitt. Chris Bassitt struggled over 3-4 starts, and then he figured
exactly.
It out. It's part of baseball. It's going to happen to these guys. And another thing, I'm glad you brought up Nestor. Because I was watching Brian Hoke's video, the hokey pokey that he does after the game. And he said, remember, Nestor has only pitched 93 innings in a whole season. That was last year. So they need to have a quick hook on him. They need to limit his innings. Because they are not expecting this guy to shoulder that much of a load this year coming off of what he did last year. So it's fine. He went 4 1/3 today. He got rocked. He just didn't have it. It's fine. But there's going to be a time where he bounces back soon. He's a competitor. He's going to bounce back. He's going to be all right. He's going to be fine. He's not broken. He's not trash. He's not a bum. He's got a back-to-back starts that, like, they weren't terrible. It wasn't like, you know, when Gerrit Cole gave up the game, we thought he gave up the game. We had to score 10 runs to come back. Like, Nestor gave up 3 runs. It's all right.
Anyway, last year I was at a Yankees-Astros game, and they actually let me in with one of those inflatable garbage cans.
They might have let you in with it, but in the bleachers where we were, they weren't having it. And the bleachers are a different animal. They know we're turning up. They know we're rowdy. They know we're going to be doing a lot of things. Like, I just remember security coming through and taking every type of prop that we had.
Yeah, I was sitting next to a massive Astros fan, and he was flicking me off because of what things I was saying about the Astros and stuff.
That's what it is. I think these Astros fans are crazy for pulling up to Yankee Stadium. I've seen Astros fans in Yankee Stadium the last couple weeks when the Astros aren't there. I know there'll be some of them there coming up this weekend, and, you know, enter at your own risk.
Exactly. Yeah, so anyway, thanks for taking my call, Keith. Have a great night.
Thanks for calling in, and good luck with everything. Congrats on graduating, and yeah, kids, you kids that aren't graduating yet, take this as advice, heed this warning. Don't get too fired up, pun intended. Don't get too fired up about graduating where you start lighting off Roman candles and bombs and fireworks and lighting papers on fire, trying to celebrate, do something cool to make a spectacle, because then you're going to get caught, get in trouble, and then you can't actually go to the graduation parties. You can't actually go celebrate. Ruins it. You know, I always remember that with my eighth grade graduation. Eighth grade graduation, I got in trouble, ruined it. High school graduation, it was super hot, and I just wanted to get out of there. I don't even remember what we did after that. And then college, I didn't walk. I had them mail me my diploma. I was over it. I didn't care. My guy Ross out in Bergen County, back on the fan to tell me something cool.
How you doing, man?
All right, holding
How's
it down.
Been?
We lost. The Mets lost. The Yankees lost. We all took L's, whatever.
So did we. Jays just lost to, just blew one in the 12th.
Oh, yeah, you know? That game was tied in the 12th inning.
Yeah, they were living on the edge for three innings. Because, you know, what's his name? Buck Martinez or whatever. I know he's been out recently. But Dan Schulman's his name. He was talking about, they didn't have a ball going to the outfield besides Kirk's home run in the eighth inning. And they had four runs. They had bases loaded. They got one run out of it.
Yeah.
And then ninth inning, you know, Romano comes in. He's like the Clay Holmes of April, May, and just completely blows it all. Then 10th, 11th, we both score one each. And then 12th, they don't bring in the guy from second. And then Josh Harrison walked it off just like minutes ago.
Josh Harrison. So, you know. Jay Hay. He's been playing good for them. And I saw that the White Sox fans were chanting, "Fire, Tony."
Oh, my. They were ruthless in the eighth. It was like a Yankee crowd out there. It was like they had the bleacher creatures behind home plate.
I love it there. On the south side, guaranteed low-rate field. I've sat behind the dugout. You can hear everything in there.
That park is weird, though. They got, like, the colorful mints on top of the screen. What's that all about?
Yeah, I don't know. It is the cheesiest ballpark. It's a nice ballpark, but it's such a, like, cookie-cutter ballpark. And stupid name. Should never... Just sell
the
name to the highest bidder, because then you get a name like Guaranteed Low Rate Park or Field. And it's nice. I've eaten there, like, they're like luxury suites. It's nice. And they have this whole like walkway or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely a weird place because of the name and because of those rainbow peppermints that they have.
Yeah, I don't even know what that has to do with any team over on the White Sox.
Nothing.
They
it's
got
just
the
like
blandest
a
brand in the league.
It's just like a design. It's just like architecture.
The whole place is blank.
I don't know.
Jay stunk it up tonight. And, you know, I know on the screen I put down my topic as Mets and Yankees, but you were talking about it. I didn't even know the NBA draft is tomorrow. That's
right.
How little they've been marketing that.
I mean,
you know, I heard like, oh, go ahead, man.
They can't really, like, you know what markets it? To market it, you need to have, like, top teams with a chance to get a top player. I don't know really.
Well,
you know, it's Chet Holmgren, it's Pablo Banchero.
I heard him and Ivy.
Yeah, for the Knicks, they're looking at Ivy. This Johnny Davis kid is getting a lot of hype. I don't care about the draft because the Nets almost never have a pick.
Well, that's really all I've been hearing. I heard something about, like, Sacramento was saying they were going to take Ivy at four and him, like, putting it out right out there that he'd do anything to not play Sacramento. So then I heard
it'd be
them, like,
cool to see some trades. It'd be cool to see something happen. It'd be cool to see the Knicks land a young point guard that can be a guy. I don't know. The thing about the draft is, like, every year there's a bunch of players drafted and a handful of them become regular rotation guys. They become guys that you see in the NBA consistently. Like, there was a few this year. But then there's also a ton of players that get drafted and you never hear from them again. So it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, look at Jalen Suggs. I mean, he had that monster March Madness, and he wasn't even the Magic's best first-round pick last year.
No, it was Wagner.
They got Wagner. Yeah. Yeah, I actually I was down in Orlando. It was the first NBA game I ever went to. And, you know, I mean, that place was empty. I mean, they really don't have a fan base in the first place. But, yeah, it was something about something. I forgot what it was exactly, but, like, Suggs is the first player ever to, like, foul out in the first quarter with, like, a dunk or something. That was crazy because I was thinking to myself, this guy was putting up monster numbers in March Madness a couple of months ago. And now,
yeah, playing against college kids. Different when you get to the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, like Scotty Barnes walks into the NBA. He looks like he's been playing in the NBA for 5 years already.
Yeah, he became the face of a playoff team that missed last year. Missed the play-in, too.
Josh Giddey gets the opportunity to be the main scorer for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Josh Giddey looking like he's been in the league for 5 years as a rookie.
Mobley, too. Yeah, look at the 2019.
Evan Mobley,
Zion, Ja, and Barrett, 1-2-3. I mean, I know Zion hasn't really been playing, but you know what he's capable of.
He's coming back for some vengeance. I think the Pelicans with him, like, they already made some noise this year, but they get him back, they can be showtime.
Yeah, for sure, man. And real quick before I go, how about that Shesterkin winning Vezina tonight?
Good. Like I said, hey, it ain't the Stanley Cup, but it's a trophy. It's something to show for this year. something for the team to rally around, and for that young man to, you know, set precedent out here. He's a Vezina winner, and he's going to come with that same type of intensity and try and win it for years to come.
It's the start. It's the starting point, because, look, he won something. As good as Lundqvist was, he only won one Vezina in his entire career, too, and Shesterkin won just as many as Hank did in his third year.
Right. So it's setting a precedent of what this guy can be.
Yeah, man. All right, man. I'll talk to you another time. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Ross. Yeah. Do wish the Rangers did it. I said that a couple hours ago, I think. I was looking at the Warriors parade. Need a Yankees parade. We're not going to get the Rangers warm parade this summer. Maybe the Yankees win it, and we have indoor parties, and we're out there in the cold in our jackets and our winter hats and gloves celebrating the Yankees World Series. And, man, if the Yankees do win a World Series, I'm sure there'll be a WFAN party somewhere. I'll try and throw a party somewhere. Maybe I'll get MLB Network to throw a party. We'll have endless parties. It'll be a week-long party to celebrate the 2022 World Champion New York Yankees getting number 28. I need it. We need a parade bad. I'm telling you. I'm looking at Oakland. I'm like, Oakland is not it. If they were to bring a parade through New York, it would be a spectacle. Be viral. Movie. John is in Queens next up on the Fan. What's up, John?
Hey, kid, how you doing? First of all, maybe you should try out for The Voice. You know, I love that you sang that song.
Oh, my Aerosmith? I don't even know what the name of that song is. I used to love that song, though.
I know, that's all right. I loved it. But anyway.
Oh, Dream On.
Yeah,
it's Aerosmith.
First of all, I love the amount of time you give to your callers because, you know, I started calling in 30 years ago on Mike and the Mad Dog, and if you got a minute, you're lucky. I mean, after a minute, you were pretty much cut off. But
I know, that's why I'm taking a different approach. I'm not Mike. I'm not Mad Dog. I don't have their pedigree. I don't have I'm just a regular fan on the Fan that's getting to talk to other fans, and I look at it like, hey, if you're calling my show to talk to me, I'll let you get your thought across as long as you're respectful, and then I'll take it from there. But I don't need to hear you say something and just be like, nah, disagree, you're out, bye. No, got respect.
Well, that's why I call in once a week, because I like talking to you. So listen, I gave Trista a hypothetical question over the weekend, and she loved it. She said, oh my God, that's a great question. So I want to give the same one to you. And I challenge your callers to come up with the same thing. But the Yankees now, in 2001, they were a big favorite in the World Series because their offense was so high-powered. And even though Arizona had Johnson and Schilling, and it turns out Johnson and Schilling, basically, two of the best, World Series or, you know,
one-two punches
of all time. Exactly. But, you know, so no one expected – well, I can't say no one expected that to happen, but it was a surprise. They didn't think they would shut him down that much. So do you see a scenario this year with this high-powered Yankees offense and the way they're doing so well that any team, whether in the playoffs, up to the World Series, or in the World Series, two pitchers like that that could shut them down, or any pitching staff in general that can shut them down? And I'll hang up and listen to your response, but I just want to know if you see any scenario, because that was 21 years ago, and, you know, you never know. Something like that could happen again.
I don't know. Thanks for the call, John. I don't think it's going to be Alek Manoah and Kevin Gausman or Kikuchi, so take out the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, the White Sox with Kopech and Lance Lynn coming back, maybe, but I don't think they're going to be there. Their division has already gotten away from them some with the Guardians and the Twins facing off for first place right now. With the Astros, I don't know. I guess Verlander, I've seen enough of Verlander, and Verlander may have these Yankees' number. But like, who else is throwing for them? Odorizzi? In their rotation, is it Framber Valdez? Odorizzi's on the IL. I saw Urquidy tonight. He doesn't scare me. Luis Garcia? No. Like, the Astros don't have a 1-2 punch that scares me either. The Rays don't. Shane McClanahan and Corey Kluber. So who else is there? Who else does that leave in the AL? In the Minnesota Twins, like, the Minnesota Twins have been hurt with their pitchers, but when they're healthy, who, Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan? I don't think so. These are the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge is on this team. Giancarlo Stanton is on this team. DJ LeMahieu is on this team. Gleyber Torres is on this team. Matt Carpenter, Josh Donaldson. Guys that can hit. Marwin Gonzalez, throw him in there. Guys that are crafty, IKF, Jose Trevino, they'll figure it out. Even Aaron Hicks figuring it out. I won't throw Joey Gallo in there. I don't think Joey Gallo scares any of these pitchers. But yeah, the Yankees have more than enough guys that I don't think that there's a 1-2 punch combination in the AL that could stop them. In theory, I know there's Mets fans listening that say DeGrom and Scherzer could stop them in a World Series. Would love to see it. Would love to get there. Would love for that to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. Tim in Hicksville, next up on the Fan. You got it, Tim.
Yeah, I would love to have that parade at the Mets when we shut them down with Scherzer and DeGrom. But they both got to get there. But love your show. I just wanted to talk about the Mets season and just a little bit about Francisco Alvarez. First off, the Mets season. The reason why I'm loving the season so much is because they've faced adversity a couple of times, and every time they faced it, they stood up and they've done what they had to do. And they've done most of this without DeGrom and Scherzer. So if they get those two guys back and they're 1-2 rolling, I know it's a big if. It's going to be something special to watch in New York and Queens, bringing back the days of 86, possibly. And the Mets right now have the best prospect in baseball in Francisco Alvarez. Have you seen his numbers lately? Have you seen what he's been doing? He's hit 12 home runs in about 40 games. He's on a crazy pace. It's going to be very interesting to see. The Mets have said that they aren't close to bringing him up within the year. I think they got something special. He was a big prospect coming up, and he's hit every which way. Right now, he's close to 1,000 OPS. Had another home run tonight. He has 16 for the year. He is the number one prospect in baseball, in my opinion. He is just killing it. It's going to be very interesting because catching is a spot where they could improve. I doubt that they could keep him throughout the whole playoffs. But if he could be a DH and maybe be
the playoffs, he's 20 years old.
It'll be interesting.
Are they bringing him up? I think you got to be looking at James McCann to come back and catch before this kid,
no,
right?
They're going to bring him up. But I mean, look at his numbers. I know that you're a Yankees guy, but look at his numbers. He is doing something special, especially in the last month. And the Mets have asked about it, and the Mets said they aren't close to not bringing him up. So it is a possibility. Most likely, they're going to keep him down there. But if he keeps up with his pace, I mean, over the last month, what this guy's been doing, it's you can't shut all the doors. I mean, they can go after Contreras, at the deadline and do some certain stuff and give him a year. But he's doing something special. But I love this Mets team, and I hope we get that parade. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Thanks, Tim. I don't know. I've heard the name Francisco Alvarez. I haven't seen anything online that leads me to believe he'll be up with the Mets, but who knows? Who knows? You're looking for catching help. This guy's a 20-year-old phenom. James McCann, can't forget about him. He, I think, caught Scherzer today for the Rumble Pony, so I don't know. Could happen. Let's take this break. We're getting to the top of the hour. Let's hit the update, and when we come back, more of your calls, more talk right here. On the Fan, I'll be right back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.